Good morning.
Good morning.
Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. As you look throughout the history of the Old Testament, God used rocks as memorials and means through which He kept His people alive.
Right.
Think about Jacob. Was given a vision from heaven while he was sleeping with a stone as his pillow. He anointed the stone with oil as a memorial for the vision and promise God had given him. Think of the Israelites in the middle of the desert. They were starving in desperate need of water, and God provided water out of a rock.
Right.
When the Israelites passed through Jordan River, God told them to carry 12 stones and lay them on the other side of the Jordan River.
Amen.
To remind them what God had done throughout their travels, to remember how God and where God had brought them into the promised land. Peter himself quotes Isaiah chapter 28 to talk about this solid rock that we have in Jesus. Our message today on Christ, the solid rock we need to stand. All of us need to stand on that solid rock. If you're not standing on that solid rock, the words of the song says, you're standing on sinking sand.
Amen.
If you're not standing on that solid rock. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read verses 4 through 9. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that you give me the words to speak today. We pray that you would give the people ears to hear.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray, God, that you would show us how important it is that we stay on that solid rock of our salvation. That we stay and we don't get off into that sinking sand. Lord, be with us today in everything we do. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Notice what Peter says. See, I lay in stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will certainly not be put to shame. Think about what wonderful promise that is. We will not be put to shame if we stand on that solid rock. We will be firm on that solid rock because we know that solid rock is Jesus. He is the cornerstone of the church. He is the cornerstone of our religion. All we have in Jesus is built on that cornerstone. When we believe in Jesus, we will certainly not be put to shame. Why? Because Jesus died for all of our sins, and we are covered and completely forgiven in Jesus through our baptism and through faith in Jesus. Amen. We are firmly placed on that solid rock. Amen. Think about that, my friend. We were once on sinking sand. When you're lost, you're standing on sinking sand. But when you put your faith in Jesus, he put your foot on that solid rock. We will never be put to shame. No sweaty trials of shame. All because God has put this wonderful cornerstone as the foundation of the church through which the church is built. Think of how much this must have meant to Peter. Every year we mention Peter's denials of Christ in the courtyard of the high priest. We drudge up his sin, examine his denial for a long time of seeming shame. But on Judgment Day, Jesus won't mention that to Peter at all. When Peter was ashamed and embarrassed over what he had done, Jesus went and sought Peter out. He reinstated Peter into the ministry when he said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." He said that to Peter three times. "Feed my sheep, tend my sheep." And Peter became one of the greatest ministers of God throughout the annals of Scripture. Notice Peter, when he was preaching, 3,000 souls were saved. Peter's preaching brought 3,000 souls into the kingdom. Think about that. Peter was restored completely by Jesus. He took Peter from being worried and scared to being a solid missionary, confident in the faith once again. Jesus took Peter back on solid ground. He does the same for us by his death and resurrection. Everything flows from Jesus and builds on Jesus. Jesus is alive today. He is the living stone. Now, isn't it that an interesting thing that Jesus is alive today? He is alive in heaven today, ruling and reigning in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, his rightful place where he always had been. He is the living stone of our foundation. He is the living stone of our church. He is the living stone of our lives today. Rocks may be solid and dependable, but usually we consider them as dead as can be. It is oftentimes used as a slang for an unintelligent person. Have you ever heard the saying, "He's dumb as a rock"? We've all said that. He's dumb as a rock. That is not the case with Jesus. When Stan Lee wrote the character called the Thing, who was a man transformed into rocks, he was powerful, but he was the least intelligent person of the Fantastic Four. Jesus is far from that. He is the living rock, the wisdom from on high. In other words, not only do we have a solid foundation from which to build on, but also when we are built on Him, we also have life flow through Him and by Him. Think about this. That rock that we build our faith on, that rock flows our blessings. From that rock flows our life. From that rock flows everything we need in life. That rock is not dead, as we say, he's dumb as a rock. That rock is alive. Jesus is alive today. And that rock offers us our nourishment and everything we need in our life. Jesus also calls himself the vine, and we are the branches. So, this isn't a dead church. It is a living church where life and wisdom of salvation flows from Jesus, the living rock. Imagine living in a very dry area where there was no one well built out of stone in which the whole region would go to for water, like Jesus with a woman at the well. That one well would be a well-known area, the gathering place for thirsty people, the source of life. You could always know where to find that water at that well. This, in a sense, is what Peter is trying to draw for us by comparing Jesus to a living stone. The readings for today talk about how we need Jesus as the cornerstone. Without him, we have no church. We have no life. He is consistent. He is dependable. He is always found in the same place, in the gospel, in the word, and the sacraments that we take when we take the Lord's Supper. The Jews of Jesus' time were so used to finding God at the temple and through their sacrifices. It is interesting to note that the foundation of the temple built by Herod had huge stones that were heavier than a Boeing jet. Yet even with such a foundation, the temple was torn down by the Romans. Think about that. They placed these stones at the corner of the temple that was built by Herod. That cornerstone was heavier than a 747 jet. Think about that, my friend. But it was completely destroyed by the Roman army. They came in and they destroyed that temple and left not one stone unturned. The Jews had either forgotten or were never taught that those sacrifices ultimately had a goal, a purpose to lead to. Without a temple, without sacrifices or priests, they thought they really couldn't have a church. However, when Jesus came, he was the fulfillment of all we know as the church. He replaced the sacrifices because he was the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Jesus replaced all those things that they offered to God to please him. He was the one that would please God ultimately, and he was the one that would fulfill all Old Testament scriptures. Jesus pointed to them, to the waters of baptism, the bread, the wine at the Lord's Supper, the same word to find him and the salvation that he offered. It was a big change for them, and yet it was the same promise only fulfilled. Many of them stumbled at the stone, as we read in our text today. Many of them stumbled at the stone. Go back And look in your Bible in 1 Peter. Look in verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Listen to that word, my friend. Jesus was disallowed by the Jews. He was disallowed by those that were so stuck in tradition that they couldn't find a way to accept Jesus as their only sacrifice that would take them to heaven. Think about that, my friend. Think about that for a minute. It was a big change for them. All of them Jews could not accept it. They stumbled at that stone. They didn't want to believe that Jesus could be the fulfillment of all those sacrifices and all those priests who had come and gone. He was a stumbling rock and a stumbling block for them. In reality, God hadn't changed. He was merciful to the Old Testament sacrifices, and he was merciful through Jesus' sacrifice as well. Those Old Testament sacrifices, they were not sufficient to forgive someone for eternity. They only forgave them a year at a time. Those sacrifices that were offered by the priest, they only provided forgiveness for a year at a time. They would have to go every year and get forgiven. Every year and get forgiven. But when Jesus came and he became the rock that we all feed off of, when he died on the cross, listen, my friend, that was the ultimate sacrifice that never had to be given again. Jesus shed his blood so that we might go free, so that we might be free of all of our sin, past, present, and future. Jesus covers our sins, cleanses us, and makes us whole. Jesus didn't get rid of the word. He fulfilled the word. Amen. God would still speak to them through the word fulfilled in Christ, explained through the apostles and evangelists. Things were different, yet things were the same, only clarified in Jesus. Things would be similar and different for the Christians of Peter's time. After Jesus came, instead of needing priests through which to come to God, they now could come to God because we are become holy priesthood. Amen. Think about that, my friend. There's no longer a need for a priest to take you to God. There's no longer a priest to pray for you. You can go to God one-on-one. You can pray to God through Jesus and have your prayers answered. You don't have to have a priest. There's no need for a priest today, like the Catholic Church still practices. There's no need for priests to give you an avenue to God. Since the solid rock, and you're built on that solid rock, you can go to God through Jesus anytime, day or night. Yeah. You can go to him with your prayers, with your concerns, with everything you had. After Jesus came, instead of needing priests through which to come to God, we become a holy priesthood. they could all make spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Jew and Gentile alike would be considered as God's holy and set aside people. The same is true today. We are all God's chosen people through faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus makes everyone look holy and gives everyone access to God. Grace is the great equalizer. We are built in the same church by the same grace and by the same blood. Life flows through all people from the rock in the same way. That being said, there's no other way to be saved. Life only flows from one person in one way, through Jesus in the gospel. That's it. All other ways lead to death and hell.
Amen.
If you don't come to Jesus, that solid rock, you'll spit hell wide open. Jesus is the only one that can offer salvation, that can offer us forgiveness, that can offer us everything we need. Listen, my friend, Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice to replace all those sacrifices that were given in the Old Testament. He came to be the ultimate sacrifice that was given once and for all. Jesus would never have to die again. He would never have to give his life again. He would never have to shed his blood again. He was the ultimate sacrifice for all people. Faith in Jesus makes everyone look holy and gives everyone access to God. Life flows from all people from the same rock. So think about this. If you want to stay alive, if I want others to be alive, I have to go back to the same well, the same rock, the same word, the rock, Jesus. Listen, my friend, Jesus is the only way to be forgiven. He's the only way that people can get to heaven. He's the only way that can forgive us of our sins. Jesus is the solid rock that we build our lives on. Jesus is the solid rock that we have, that we can firm and put our foundation on and can build our lives on, that will never be destroyed.
Amen.
Jesus is the only solid rock in this land. That is it. The need, the same thing. My parents needed it. My grandparents needed it. Peter needed it. Moses needed it. And Abraham needed it. This is the only place I can find true life and true spiritual life. This is the only place that I can grow and make sacrifices that are acceptable to God if I'm not doing through faith in Jesus. They will not be accepted to God.
Amen.
We must place our faith in that solid rock. That solid rock, which is Jesus. That solid rock that Jesus became when he died on the cross. That stumbling road, that stumbling stone that others that don't believe, he is to us a precious stone, a marvelous stone, a stone that we can build our lives on and be satisfied in our lives today. This was too much for many of the Jews. They wanted to be God's special people because of their race, because of their temple, because of their priest, because of their sacrifices. They stumbled on the stone of Christ. This is too basic for people. Yet today, Jesus isn't enough for them. They want more. There has been a movement in the church which says, change or die. Another one says, church and change. A Missouri church had a saying years ago that said, "This is not your grandfather's church." They wanted to change everything about church and leave all the traditions in the dust. But then a new pastor was elected, and he said, "This is your grandfather's church." He meant that they didn't want to leave the foundation of the church. They instead wanted to build on them as life changed. Life changes whether we want it to or not. It is beyond our control in many functions. I see my neighbor who used to be full of life and loved to come and talk and help when I had projects going on. Now, he can't even walk, and his speech has slowed because of a stroke. It's sad to see. I don't want him to change, but change he must. At first, this change of the church may have seemed like kind of a nice change of speed for some. I want to get back to regular worship, but unfortunately, I don't have much choice in the matter. Though as it is, hopefully, through worship services, you are still receiving the foundation of what you need to get through these changes in life. Hopefully, you are being reminded that time and again that Jesus is still alive. He is still in charge of the church. He is still gracious and forgiving. And you can still come in on Sundays and receive His word if you so desire. The source of salvation is something that we don't ever want to change. It is easy to come up afraid in easy times, to try to shelter yourself for protection, to worry about the future. All of us worry about the future. It's easy to get worrisome. It's easy to get worried about what's happening in our government with the debt ceiling not even passed yet. It's easy to worry about, is our Social Security checks going to be stopped? It's easy to worry about all of these things. But we got to remember who's in charge. God is in charge.
Amen.
The Bible says, "My children have never gone begging bread."
Amen.
My children have never gone without. The Bible says that God shall supply all my needs through Christ Jesus, the solid rock. We don't have to worry. We don't have to think about what's happening. But when we go back to Jesus, the source of life, it enables us to realize that life can't be confined by COVID-19. God didn't call us to live in fear. He called us to live a life to the glory of His name. So we need to keep firm on the foundation, to keep living life. As long as we are in Him, we have life. In Him, we have our identity. You are a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. You are a royal nation. This is about what we have here and now in Jesus when we place our faith in Him. There's a beautiful house that was built in California that towers above all other homes in the area. It was built out of cement, but one reason it is able to tower above other homes is because the way it was connected to the ground. With huge steel rods that go deep into the ground and intertwine in the walls of the house, enabling it to stand firm and tall. Without the foundation, the house couldn't stand for long. It is the secret source of strength within the house. Foundations are often hidden out of sight and unseen. The house inspector has to come in and look at the walls to make sure that the house is solid. The people purchasing the house are usually more concerned with the floors and the walls and the size of the building. But here we see how things are hidden are most important when it comes to the Christian faith. We know that Christ is with us. We know that Christ will never leave us or forsake us. We know when we build our faith on that solid rock, we will never be ashamed. We will never be confounded. We will never fall off that solid rock. Because that solid rock is faithful. That solid rock is firm. That solid rock is steady and will never be moved. Christ is the solid rock we stand on. Peter goes beneath the paint and the flooring and shows us the life, the center of the church, is the foundation in Jesus, from whom all life flows and through which the church grows spiritually. No matter what is going on the outside of the church, as our world refuses to rest, stay founded firmly in Jesus, where we have certainty, life, and salvation. No matter what's going on outside, never fear. We have that solid rock we stand on, that solid rock that will keep us safe and secure, that solid rock of Jesus that can weather any storm, that can go through anything and still firm in our lives. Remember that. Jesus is where all life flows. It is for all our blessings flow. That solid rock of Jesus is where we get our nourishment from and where we grow from. Yeah. Listen, my friend. Jesus is that solid rock. He is that solid rock. No matter what goes on around us, we can stand firm in believing that Jesus is that solid rock. He is that firm foundation. He is the one that can take us through anything. He is the one, if we build our life on Him and we have Him as our firm foundation, it can never be destroyed. Because God built that solid rock firm and secure for all people to come to. Is your life built on that solid rock? If it's not, God wants you to come to the altar today and find that solid rock. Jesus is the only means of salvation. He is the only means of that solid rock that will take you through life and keep you firm and secure. Listen, my friend. Jesus came into this world and the Jews rejected Him. They did not accept Him as their Savior. But all of us that do, we have our life built on that solid rock that can never be destroyed. Think about that, my friend. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come to speak this morning. We pray, Father, that everyone here might see that that solid rock is where we draw our spiritual strength from, is where we get our life flow from. That solid rock is Jesus, and He will keep us safe. He will keep us secure in all of life's troubles, because He is that solid rock. We pray, Father, for those that are here today. If there's any need in our church today, we ask you, Lord, that you would help them come and find that solid rock. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.